Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel text today is actually the reading I just took from John, the third chapter. It's an exciting passage, especially here for Lent, because it ties so much of the past, the signs, the types, the symbols that we saw in the Old Testament. Regarding both the signs and the symbols, they both did two things. They pointed back to the cause, and they point towards the cure. So our text today begins, of course, with Moses lifting up the serpent, the brazen serpent in the wilderness. The context to this, however, if we step right back, we need to understand that this explanation that Jesus is talking about here, about the Son of Man, the brazen serpent, being raised upon the tree, pointing back to the tree in the garden. But his whole conversation with Nicodemus began with a discussion about the new birth. Nicodemus coming to him at night, of course, was probably a little intimidated, a little taken caution, because his presence with Jesus could jeopardize his ability to rule, to be a part of the Sanhedrin. And so he was a little cautious. Can't blame him for that. I know that his courage, though, did bring him there. That's the most important thing. His faith, what he was seeing, how God began to touch and increase the light in him, he was obedient to it. And he presented himself before Jesus. And of course, when he got to Jesus, he said, like human interaction often is, there's always accolades. We know you must be from God, good teacher. Nobody can do the things that you're doing unless they were from God. But Jesus, being both fully man and fully God, the master, knowing the hearts and the minds of every individual, every thought and intent of the heart, spoke right to the issue with Nicodemus. He pushed the sides and the accolades aside. And Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Well, of course, Nicodemus's response was, "How can this be? Do you expect people to go back into their mother's womb and be born again?" You see, Nicodemus didn't even understand the limitation of his own intellect, his own ability to perceive the world and the nature of the world as it was. He was only thinking carnally, according to the flesh. As Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That happened at the fall. Man was no more both flesh and eternal spirit. Death had entered in, the spirit had left. And God made a promise to send one in the flesh, the eternal spirit in the flesh, that would restore mankind once again. But Nicodemus didn't get it. He didn't understand those concepts. And then, of course, Jesus asked him one of those most piercing questions, which no pastor ever wants to hear. He said, "Nicodemus, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things?" Wow. Nicodemus was a pastor and a teacher in Israel. Again, he represents the pastors and the teachers in the church today. And of course, what was Nicodemus ignorant of? What did he not know? Was it some obscure teaching hidden in the dark riddles of the Word of God? And there's many deep ones there, hard to understand. No, it was not some obscure doctrine, but fundamental, foundational matters about the faith, about the nature of the fall, about the nature of man, about the need for the new birth to make it into that eternal kingdom. He did not know. So how did Nicodemus get into this situation? Again, it's probably no fault from his own. Love believes the best about people. People are in the religious bodies they're in. Of course, the Jewish leadership was very religious, and they were very serious about their religion. They taught the obligations of the law, that you must be in church every Sabbath. You must attend the synagogue, as we would say. It's a holy obligation to be here on church on Sunday. They would say to be in the synagogue on Sabbath. Go to the temple and offer your offerings to God. Pay your tithes according to the law, because the law says it. How you dress in public. All of those types of things. Of course, the only problem is that the law can't bring about those things, obedience to those things, except in that fleshly obedience. Not by the Spirit. The law cannot motivate you in the Spirit. So much of the Jewish population of that day, you would often hear, like we hear today, well, I believe in God. I go to synagogue and temple daily. Others didn't. But they still confessed, well, I believe in God. And so what you had, according to the law, because the law produces good external disciples, but not according to faith. And so you had a society that would say, oh, they're really good churchgoers, or they're really good, they're close to God because they go to church every day, or they read the Word of God every day. I see them in the temple giving of their money every day. But we refuse to see how Jesus, when he, the Lord, sat in the temple, and he would even make a distinction about everybody that was by the law coming in and presenting their offerings before God. But Jesus would pinpoint one and say, the woman with the mite. She only had a penny, but she gave out of everything. She had nothing left when she walked out of that temple that day. And she didn't care because she trusted in God. Her heart was filled with faith. And Jesus said about her, she gave more than all of these other very religious folks. No, Nicodemus did not know those things. They taught according to the law, according to religious standards of the day. And unfortunately, the effect of it was is they were leading many people into eternal destruction, because they were setting the Word of God aside. They were dismissing it. They were taking the Word of God and throwing it to the ground and replacing it with the teachings of men. So why did Messiah have to come? Why did we need the new birth that only comes by believing, by faith, not by the keeping of the law? Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Again, those pictures and types, the brazen serpent on a pole, a tree, pointing back to the tree in the garden. The brazen serpent in the tree of the garden with words, fiery serpents that are biting the children of Israel. causing death amongst the children of Israel, amongst the church today. Many are dying, maybe not physically, but eternally, because they're believing the words instead of believing God, that in the day that I ate of that fruit, I would die, Adam should have known. But no, they chose to believe the words of the serpent. The bites of the serpent are false doctrines and teachings that pervaded Israel. And of course, pervades the church today. But what was the cure? Of course, it is for the Son, the second Adam, to be lifted up on that tree. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. Because death came from that tree. It was the central issue about its nature to mankind. And the devil's words were lies, as Jesus would say. The devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer because he's a murderer from the beginning. The fiery serpents in the desert that time biting the children of Israel is exactly the way it is today. And the reason that the Son of God came is to destroy, as John says in his first epistle, for the Son of God was manifest to hang upon that tree that he might destroy the works of the devil, what he started in that original tree. Paul telling us to whom the end of the ages have come, that we should listen to the word of God, be returned to the word of God, stop lying, listening to the lies of the devil, believing every wind of doctrine that blows around by the cunningness and craftiness of men. But we need to come back and repent and stand before the Lord and bow to his word and his word alone. Paul reminds us that in this evil day, if we're going to stand, because our warfare is not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against individuals, but principalities and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. We wrestle against those false, fiery words of the devil. In fact, as Paul told us how to stand in the evil day, he said, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand in that evil day. Why? Because the devil's tactics is no different than it was from the beginning. He hasn't changed one iota. Paul tells us in this dressing in the armor of God, he says, and above all, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Wow. He still uses the same thing. He's throwing false words at us, false philosophies, false worldviews, and he wants you to bite. He doesn't want you to believe that, oh, we need to take the book of Genesis literally. We don't need to take all the other things and the results of the fall seriously. We can worship God any way we want. All paths lead to God. That's a lie. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except through me. All the monotheistic religions of the world who claim that they have God, the Father. But if they deny the Son, that's not the God of the Bible. It's a lie. So Jesus said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, you'll notice the world, not just Israel, the world, the Son was sent into the world, the Gentiles. The reason you're sitting in here in a pew is because you've heard the gospel. He sent it to the world that through him, the world might be saved. What a wonderful promise. And of course, that motivated John. And we read in his first epistle, he said, regarding the Son that was lifted up, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The word of life came to overthrow the words of death that come from the devil. And so Jesus would continue, and he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. If you don't believe the gospel, if you believe the gospel, you won't be condemned. But if you do not believe, you're already condemned. That which is born of flesh is flesh. It's at enmity against God. You must be born again. You must believe the gospel. You must come and bow your knee to the word of God and his authority, trusting in his salvation in the Christ. And in that path to salvation only, understanding why Jesus had to come, why in how this sin came about in the world, how God created a perfect world without sin. You need to come to that understanding and know that something happened. Somebody threw a wrench into that perfect creation, that perfect mechanism. You need to understand who your enemy is. And when you understand who your enemy is, you'll understand whose words to avoid and whose words to draw near to. Because Jesus made that promise to us. He said, if I be lifted up like that serpent in the wilderness, I will deliver you from the fiery words, the lies, the death of the devil. I will draw all men unto me, and I will personally lead you into that eternal kingdom where there will be eternal joy and life and everything abundantly above all that we could ever hoped or imagine. God has prepared for us who believe. Amen.